Bishus Marino Rav Shlita, a good Hanukkah. Zos Chanukas HaMizbeach is a phrase we see twice in today's Kriyas HaTorah, and as Henry rightly pointed out in the bulletin, this is alluding, the phrase Zos Chanukah is alluding to the Kriyas HaTorah which we said today. Today is called Zos Chanukah, and it's not often known why. And we're going to try and investigate what is this tradition to call today Zos Chanukah. Is it simply because of the reference to the Kriyas HaTorah? Why do we have to call it Zos Chanukah? Maybe we should call it Zos Paloscha or Zos HaMenorah. Why? What is Zos Chanukah? It says Zos Chanukas HaMizbeach. It's talking about the inauguration. So what do we mean by Zos Chanukah? A couple of answers go around in the yeshiva world. One of them is that Zos Chanukah has a question mark after it. Zos Chanukah, why? Because Chanukah is a celebration against the assimilation threatened by the Greeks. L'ashkichom Torasecho, to make you forget your Torah. And what do they do in the yeshiva world when it comes to Chanukah? They stop learning in the afternoons. They don't have an afternoon seder, the lighting up, and there's the singing and the dancing and the donuts and the streidels. So Zos Chanukah, is this the way you celebrate Chanukah, by not learning Torah? And then there's a second explanation which goes around the yeshiva world, that every day of Chanukah, because of this break, you're not learning properly, which isn't a reflection of L'Hashgichom Torasecho. But on the eighth day of Chanukah today, the yeshiva program is normal, because you're not breaking this afternoon for lighting up. So then the expression is, Zos Chanukah. Today is the proper day of Chanukah, which is the proper routine one should be having in learning Torah normally. But there's a bit more to it than that. The Nitzei Gavriel brings down a number of sources on what does Zos Chanukah mean. And he brings the Toldos Aharon from Rav Aharon of Zitmir, who was a Talmud of the Kedushas HaLevi. He says there's something very special about this day of Chanukah, which is brought down from the Arizal, the Ari HaKadosh, who were saying that Chanukah is really the completion of the cycle which started off in Elul Tishri when we were asking for Teshuvah, and Rosh Hashanah when the Tzadikim are judged, and Yom Kippur and the Beinonim are judged, and then we come through to Hoshana Rabbah when we said that things are sealed. We say Agita Klittel. All right, you could say Yom Kippur is the sealing and Hoshana Rabbah is the delivery, but the actual implementation of the decrees made from Yemei Hadin only start with Zos Chanukah. And the Ace Rotzon, which we were proud to have for our davening at the time of the Yom Haroim, says the Sefer Nei Yisrael from the Halagurishan Rebbe, Masha Tzadikim Yicholim Nifal Mashem Yisbach Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. What the Tzadikim are able to achieve in their davening on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Yochol Kol Yehudi Nifal Bezos Chanukah. Every single person can achieve of Zos Chanukah. That there's something more special about Zos Chanukah, even though it doesn't seem to be written in Mishnah Gemara Rishonim, there's something more special Al Pi Sod on the day of Zos Chanukah, something which is from Kabbalah, something from the mystics, which is handed down from mouth to mouth, that Zos Chanukah has a certain magic about it which you don't get at other times. And there is in fact a hint to it in a number of ways. We have the pasuk Yisru Chag Bavo Sim Ad Karnos HaMizbeach. There is a connection between Sukkot and Chanukah. Yisru Chag Bavo Sim is talking about the Avos, which are the Hadassim, which we shake on Sukkot. Ad Karnos HaMizbeach is a reference to the Chanukah HaMizbeach, which we read about on Chanukah. In addition, there is a connection in other ways between the Yom Tov of Sukkot and Chanukah. There's a Mishnah about Bikurim where we say that you make a bracha over Bikurim between Shavuos and Sukkot, and then if you carry on taking Bikurim between Sukkot and Chanukah, you're still okay. You can still bring the Bikurim, but you do so without a bracha. So there's a link between Sukkot and Chanukah. But you can ask, what is this special zechus we have in our davening and in our teshuvah, that we can do something special on Chanukah which we could not do earlier. What is this Eis Ratzon? And the sources, especially Hasidic sources, make a big play. Some Hasidim make a Sudas Mitzvah on Zos Chanukah. And there are a number of references in the Nisei Gavriel to the Sadiger Hasidim, who do something very special on they make on Zos Chanukah. And a number of the sources which I'm going to quote today were given to me by the Rav of Sadiger Shlita in Golders Green. The Beis HaLevi says that why did we really need a miracle for Chanukah? We could have used a smaller wick. What's this big deal about the oil? That there wasn't enough for 8 days and there was only enough for 1 day. He says they could have burnt a smaller wick. They could have done it in such a way to be economizing on the oil. But they didn't. They said we're going to do it a nice way, just like we always do it. The same size wick, a proper flame. So he said the whole miracle happened because of Hidur. The whole miracle of the oil was because we were keen to do the mitzvah properly. And so the mace happens because of Hidur mitzvah. And we find with Ner Chanukah the idea of Hidur mitzvah, of Zahirus per mitzvah, Hazor b'ner, Bonim Yud Tamid HaChomim, Zerizus per mitzvah, to eagerness, to light up on time. All the aspects relating to the mitzvah which are on the Hashkofa side, which give us this refined mentality in the way we approach our mitzvahs, in the way we do a Dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So with the zechus that we achieve, with the teshuvah me'ava that we achieve, not only by Sukkot, but also by Chanukah, with this zerizos we have, not only at the time then of the Beis HaMikdosh, that the Hidur mitzvah was followed, and with the Hidur mitzvah, a person who is machmir on himself to do things in a more refined way, to have Dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that earns us a zechus, and that's why Chanukah has this special thing about Eis Ratzon and the time of teshuvah. But what about the eighth day? The Shemesh Shmuel says that the eighth day of Chanukah really includes all the other days. Something grammatically about Shemonas Yumei Chanukah, and Shemonas includes all the eight together. And this comes out from the Kriyas HaTorah, which Gershon very expertly did for us this morning. And in the Kriyas HaTorah, there is a summary of all the Karbonos of the Nasiim, the 12 Nasiim, all on the last part, and we're doing that today. So today is a summary of all the other days. So there's a special kedusha of that. And today being number 8, 8 has a very special significance, says the Maharal, that it's lemaila min hateva. It is above nature. What does that mean? We have the 7 days of creation. So we have also the Bris Milah, which is number 8. But once 7 days have passed and we come to the number 8, there is something elevated and spiritual about it. Like Matan Torah was the day after 7 by 7. It's a similar idea. And the Mishkan was inaugurated on Bayom HaShemini. Vayi Bayom HaShemini Kara Moshe, at the beginning of Parshas Shemini. It was on the 8th day that it was inaugurated. Shemini Atzeres is the 8th day of a Yom Tov, says the Al Sheikh, which gives us the idea of Lamaila Min Ateva in our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch. And you might feel, pardon? Bris Milah is the 8th day. Yes. So that's the number of 8. And why do we have 8 days of Chanukah? You could have had just 1 day to celebrate. The Sefer Ole Yaakov, which the Rav of Sadiger showed to me, it says you could have had just 1 day Chanukah to celebrate the miracle of the Mechoma, the miracle of the oil, but to teach us that we have to become more spiritual as a result of the experience. And when we make the bracha of the Ner Chanukah, we say, Asher kiddushonu b'mitzvosov, so we become elevated spiritually. And you might think when you read through the laning of Chanukah that it sounds a bit repetitious. It sounds like, you know, why are we saying the same phrases all over again? Surely it could have said, and all in the sea and brought their karbonos, and each one of them were shloshim u'mayom mishkalom mizrok echod, etc., etc. What's this repetition, especially of this number 130? Shloshim u'mayom mishkalom is the weight. The silver pan that they had the weight of 130 shekel. What is this stress the whole time of the number 130? Well, there are other numbers as well. There is the 70, there is 10. But the 130 has a special significance. The Sefer Dovah Be'ito says that there's a number of Svarim, Dovah Be'ito, but this was a Rav from Baghdad. And he said that 130 is the number which is the number of years that Adam HaRishon left Chavo. He foresaw problems because of future generations, and he separated from Chava, and he got a telling off. There's a Rashi about it in Bereishis, about an exchange between him and Lemech and so on, about the leaving of his wife. And so he went back to his wife after 130 years, and then Chase was born. That 130 was a year of sin, because he wasn't keeping to his bris, so to speak. And so we are doing a kapora on the sin of Adam HaRishon for leaving his wife alone for 130 years. Hence, Yocheved was 130 when she gave birth to Moshe. You've got Yaakov Avinu talking about 130 years old when he visits Paro to come back to Yosef. There is this ringing of 130 through various things, and he writes that when you say Berich Shemei, when the Sefer Torah is revealed to you, when the Oren HaKodesh is opened, that has 130 years. And that, when you say Berich, 130 words. And when you say Berich Shemei, that is a kapora for the chait of Adam Rishon, kapora for sins of ourselves, because that is also 130. And the Shem Yishmuel says that, although it sounds repetitious, that every single time it's written 130, and all these other repetitious parts, is that each Nossi had different kavonos. Each Nossi, when he was bringing his kavonos in the Nesiim, had different attitudes that one should reflect upon. I mean, there's quite a list which is given in a number of Sfarim of each Nossi's attitudes. Like Reuven had the attitude of 130, that there were 100 days, and that Shlomo Kopper was of the mikvah was 30, Shimon's 130, that the courtyard length was 100 amos, and the tent length was 30. With God, it talks about the weight of all the implements used, which was also 70 plus 10, which comes to 210, which reflects the number of years of slavery in Mitzrayim, or the number of years we were in Mitzrayim. We were slaves a bit less. Manasseh, 130, Yaakov's age to reunite with Yosef. Don, the Nozir, Parsha contains 130 words, etc. There are so many different examples of this 130, but the classic example that I found was the sin of Adam HaRishon, which rings through a number of sources, and there are a number of stories who speak about this. I quoted Dovah Vitzel, there's a sefer called Yisod Yosef also, which talks about this idea of 130. So when you brew a korban, it's a kapora. When they were inaugurating the Mishkan, it was a kapara for the Egel Azov, kapara for other things. And hence, these numbers are all meant to tell us something. They're not random numbers by chance. They're certainly not forced. Now, the Chasam Sofer in his Droshus gives a few other numbers for us. He says that the number of days it took us to build the Mishkan, it was the day after Yom Kippur up to the 25th of Kislev. And that was 72 days, but he says we'll deduct the Shabbos because they were not building the Mishkan on Shabbos. That makes 65 days. 65 gematria of Heichal. It's the gematria of Aleph Dalad Nun Yud, one of Hashem's names. So why is it that the Midrash says Hashem said to Aaron, hold fire, you're not going to inaugurate the Mishkan just yet. I don't want you to do it until the end of Adar, the 23rd of Adar, culminating in the 8th day being the 1st of Nisan, which is when we have the 12 days of the Nisan. So why is it that Hashem wanted Aaron to wait? Don't bring it out straight away. Aaron wanted to start doing a korban, and Hashem said no. And Aaron felt troubled about it. And Hashem said to him, don't worry. With your zechus, although you are not one of the Nesiim who are bringing from in the 12 days, you are the one lighting the menorah ba'alos chos haveres. And in the future, even when there is no Beis HaMikdash, on this very self-same day, on the 25th of Kislev, all Klal Yisrael will be lighting a menorah. And this is already in the Medrash brought down, that this was the prediction given to Aaron HaKohen. So why wait till the 23rd of Adar, says the Chasam Sofer, because that makes 159 days in total, which is the gematria of Koton. Hashem wanted us to know that when we have a special edifice, not like when the goyim build something glorious and use it for their prestige, for us the Mishkan is that Hashem is Shekhinah to us. But Shochanti v'Sokom, it's not to glorify ourselves, it's to humble ourselves. To humble ourselves, that's the gematria of Koton. The Shemesh Shmuel notes this word Zos, Zos Chanukah. Really, grammatically, says it should be Zeh. Zos Chanukah, Sam Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is masculine, should be Zeh. So what is this idea of the word Zos? He says it stresses itself on the word Chanukah more than on the word Mizbeach. But Zos, B'Zos, we find there's a very special idea in the Zohar whenever you have this word Zos or B'Zos. B'Zos Yavo Aharon El HaKodesh. Saying Parshas Emor, Bezos ani boteach in Tehillim Kafzain, Zos oshiv el libi is in Eicha. Or when we lift up the Sefer Torah, Bezos hatarosh somer shidiv v'nei b'nei Yisrael. So the Shemesh Shmuel says, whenever you have the word Zos, it's a sign of a bris, as we say in Bereishis Yudayin, Zos brisi asher tishmeru. A bris is called Zos. There's something special significance about this word. So when we say bezos, the word zos itself is split up between zayin, which is the seven, the derech hateva, says the Shemesh Shmuel, and after that you've got an aleph and a tov. Aleph tutov, which is the complete span of the aleph base, is the world of the material in which we live, aleph til tov. So we are bringing the spiritual world into the physical world by this word Zos or Bezos. And Robert says, so this word Zos is the 7 plus Aleph Tiltov, and it's the Maharal's idea of bringing the spiritual down into the physical. The B'nai Yisoschar, who... The Zayin is the 7 of the physical. You have the 7 days of the week, the 7 days of creation. The 7 is the physical, and 8 is Lamaila Min Ateva. So to bring the spiritual down to the physical, you've got Zos, and then you're bringing with the number 8 going one step higher. One step higher from the 7 to the 8. So the Sefer B'nai Yisoschar speaks at great length about this idea of Zos Chanukah. And he notes that Adam Arishon was in Gan Eden for 36 hours, corresponding now to the 36 lights which we light on Chanukah, 1 plus 2 plus 3 up to 8. And he says that the word Chanukah comes from the word Chinuch. Chinuch, education. Chinuch, which is to teach us something. And he says this is really preparation for the future Beis HaMikdosh. What does this mean? He says the word ner is gematria 250. We have to prepare ourselves for the future Beis HaMikdosh by our 248 limbs, plus two ideas relating to Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, making your 250. And there's another reference I found which talks about the two eyes, which are not part of the 248. We need the eyes. There's the idea of the eyes and the heart. You have to conform yourself to the mitzvahs properly. And this is all connected with the idea of Zos Chanukah, says the Shemesh Shmuel, because Yavon, Greece, came from Yefes. Yefes had a zechus, because he, together with Shem, did something very good in covering up their father's nakedness, Noach, whereas Chom misbehaved. And it says Vayar Vayaged. He saw and he told. So he saw Chanukah, we see the lights. Vayaged, we do Halel V'Hodor. It's to correspond to that, because Yovan have a Zechus, and we have to counteract that Zechus of Yovan. We are fighting Greece. So on Chanukah we say Halel, which is the praise, and we also light the Chanukah light, which is the seeing and the telling. But coming back to the B'nai Yisoschar, he says, we read on the 8th day, we start with an Asim of Menashe. What is special about Menashe on Zos Chanukah? He says, there's a pasuk in Tehillim, Pei, Lifnei Ephraim uvinyamin umenashe ores gevorosecho. Your greatness is aroused with those three tribes. Those are the three tribes who come from Rachel Imenu, who gave, she gave birth to Yosef and Binyamin. Yosef, we got Ephraim and Menashe, and we have Binyamin. And he says that the first Beis HaMikdash was the Chus of Ephraim. He says each one of the 12 tribes corresponds to one of the 12 months, and Ephraim is Tishri, Binyamin is Kislev, and Menashe is Cheshvan. The first Beis HaMikdash, he says, was built in Tishri, the second in Kislev, the third will be built in Cheshvan. Menashe, Osios, Neshomo, and Rachel was the Akeres HaBayis.
Because they're saying the mutterings with age. Is that the order?
Not with age, but that's why it seems Ephraim and Binyamin are the wrong way around in the Nesi'im. And he says that's why Menashe becomes where it is, even though Menashe was older than Ephraim. Mm-hmm. Alright, they were switched with the Brochus. But he says the whole idea of the Nossi coming for today is a reflection on the future on the Beis HaMikdosh. Now, there's a Sefer Maichanika which brings down from the Bnei Yisoschor that the miracle, the main miracle, or the most significant miracle, seems to be on the eighth day with Zos Chanukah. Why is that? The Beis Yosef asks, at the beginning of Hilchas Chanukah, what was the actual miracle of Chanukah? So he brings various opinions, an eighth burnt each day, or a whole lot burnt the first day, and then there were 7 days. But one of the opinions he brings is that they had this jug, which they filled up the menorah with, and there was enough for one day in that jug. And when they filled up the menorah completely for the first night, it suddenly refilled itself again. And it refilled itself every single day. And that was the miracle. When it came to the eighth night, they poured the oil and it refilled itself again. But they didn't need that new oil anymore, because by the ninth night, they had other oil already. So what was that oil for? Why did the nace have to happen on the eighth night of Chanukah? Because when it refilled itself with oil, that oil was never needed. So he says, that is the oil which will be used when the Beis HaMikdosh starts, the third Beis HaMikdosh, and we will not be ready yet with pure oil. So we will have the oil which came as a result of the Nes Chanukah on the eighth night. And that is the link between Zos Chanukah, the eighth day of Chanukah, to the future Beis HaMikdosh. That when we're saying Zos Chanukah, it is saying that there is something special Zos, something spiritual, the word Zos, remember, something very spiritual about the eighth, eight being Lamayla Min HaTeva, eight being a link from the Nes of Chanukah to the Nes of the future Beis HaMikdosh. Because the future Beis HaMikdosh will have such great nisim, it will make the Tzias Mitzrayim look like child's play. The Nisim, the miracles which will happen in the future, will be even more significant than the Nisim of the coming out from Mitzrayim. So that it gives us the idea of hope. Namely, that we are going to be building a Beis HaMikdosh, hopefully speedily in our days, and the link from today's Zos Chanukah is to give us that link because of the oil which we received already by a nace originally is the oil which will be used. I don't know where this oil is at the moment. It's probably hidden in the Vatican somewhere. But that oil will be used. Yeah, therefore it's Tomei. So that is the oil which will be used in the future, and that gives us hope. And there's a very interesting story symbolizing this idea of hope. From the year going back to 1775, and some of you may have heard this story, when the American army was trying to fight for independence from the British, terrible people these British, giving lots of aggravation everywhere around the world, and the Americans were trying to fight for independence. And there was this Jewish soldier who was in the army, whose parents had been in Poland, and his father said to him, look after this menorah and always remember that the light which you kindle on Chanukah is the light of hope. It's the light which fills up enormous darkness, just a tiny little light. And it was the first night of Chanukah, and this soldier was feeling cold and hungry. The morale in the camp was low, very low, and he wanted to light his Chanukah light, so he thought he'll wait till till all the others are asleep, so as not to draw too much attention to himself. And when they were asleep, he lit the Chanukah light. And as he looked into this light, filling up the huge darkness, He started davening. He was davening that America should become free. He was davening that they should no longer be sitting out in these cold, dark army camps. And he should be once again in a nice, warm, cozy environment. And he started crying. And as he started crying, there was a tap on his shoulder. And he turned around and it was the general of the army camp. His name was George Washington. And he said to him, "What's the matter? What's this light for? Are you cold? Why are you crying?" And he said, "Well, this is our Hanukkah light. That in the Jewish faith we light this candle to commemorate the victory we had against all odds. The victory which the Jews had against the Greeks. And we have this hope that soon we shall have our temple and we shall be able to continue our religion properly without hindrance. And I'm praying for the freedom of America. And we will win by this hope. The hope which we have from Hanukkah is the hope which we will have in fighting the British." And George Washington's eyes lit up because his own morale was low. And he said, "You really think we're going to succeed in this war?" And he said, yes, sir, we're going to fight and we're going to win. And it's this light of Hanukkah which gives us hope." And his face lit up and he said, thank you so much." And he shook his hand and he walked off. And America won the War of Independence, 4th of July, celebrated every single year, May 8th, May 8th. 1 year later, 1776, America was independent and this soldier was living in New York and there was his Hanukkah light shining in his window and there was a knock on his door. He opened his door and he couldn't believe his eyes. There standing was President George Washington. And George Washington said to him, "You gave me such hope. You gave me that feeling of confidence which I feel helped us win the war. I've got here a medal for you." And he said, "Everyone in your army camp is going to get a medal, but you're getting yours now on the first night of Hanukkah. And on this medal is engraved a menorah with one light burning." And he put it round his neck. This medal can still now be seen in the Jewish Museum in New York. The story is well documented. I got it from a sefer called Pardes Hanukkah, but it's been written in a number of places. And it symbolizes the idea of hope. When we light this Hanukkah light, whatever Tzoros we have nowadays, and we're getting more than our fair share of Tzoros, and we daven to Hashem that we should no longer have this Tzoros, that we should speedily in our days merit the Beit HaMikdash, when there'll be no more Tzoros in the world, when we'll be able to worship Hashem properly, and with that hope, which we build up from Zos Hanukkah, a day of Eis Rotzon, not just a day of Teshuvah when our prayers are heard, but also a day when we are instilled with this feeling that we are not far away. We are getting nearer and nearer as each year goes by to the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash when we can use that oil which was made for us on Zos Hanukkah. A good Hanukkah. Thank you.
In America is
Arsot HaBrit. Very good. Yeah. Brit, the Zos. Yeah, very nice. Rabbi Hananya ben Akash Rabbi Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zachi Yisrael L'Ficho Hebrem Tamitzah Shnema Adonai Chafetz Naman Tizkei Udiltza Ovi Adir.